Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. Thus, Maharaja Dhritarashtra, the scion of the family of Ajamid, firmly convinced by introspective knowledge, Pragna, broke at once the strong network of familiar affection by his resolute determination. Thus, he immediately left home to set out on the path of liberation, as directed by his younger brother Vidura. Purport. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great preacher of the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam, has stressed the importance of association with sadhus, pure devotees of the Lord. He said that even by moments of association with the pure devotee, one can achieve all perfection. We are not ashamed to admit that this fact was experienced in our practical life. Were we not favored by His Divine Grace, Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, by our first meeting for a few minutes only, it will have been impossible for us to accept this mighty task of describing Srimad Bhagavatam in English. Without seeing Him at the opportune moment, we could have become a very great business magnate, but never would we have been able to walk the path of liberation and engage in the factual service of the Lord under instructions of His Divine Grace. And here is another practical example by the action of Vidura's association with Dhritarashtra. Maharaj Dhritarashtra was tightly bound in the network of material affinities related to politics, economy and family attachment, and he did everything in his power to achieve so-called success in his planned projects, but he was frustrated from the beginning to the end, so far as his material activities were concerned. And yet, despite his life of failure, he achieved the greatest of all success in self-realization by the forceful instructions of a pure devotee of the Lord, who is the typical emblem of a sadhu. The scriptures enjoin, therefore, that one should associate with sadhus only, rejecting all other kinds of association, and by doing so, one will have ample opportunity to hear the sadhus, who can cut to pieces the bounds of illusory affection in the material world. It is a fact that the material world is a great illusion, because everything appears to be a tangible reality, but at the next moment evaporates like the dashing foam of the sea or a cloud in the sky. A cloud in the sky undoubtedly appears to be a reality, because it is the ultimate issue. Everything disappears, namely the cloud, rain, green vegetation, all in due course. But the sky remains, and the varieties of sky or luminaries also remain forever. Similarly, the absolute truth, which is compared to the sky, remains eternally, and the temporary cloud-like illusion comes and goes away. Foolish living beings are attracted by the temporary cloud, but intelligent men are more concerned with the eternal sky, with all his variegateness. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Om Agyana Timrandasya Gyananjana Salakayam Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So before I start, I would like to pay my respectful obeisances to all the Vaishnavas present here in the temple room and all the devotees present online. Please accept my humble obeisances. Vancha kalpa turupyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavinebhyo vaishnavabhyo namo namaha. Only by the blessings of the Vaishnavas one can speak something. something of value, something of pleasing to the Guru Parampara, and something of benefit. So thank you again for coming for this morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. You can see in the purport our Prabhupada in the beginning glorifies Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in connection with Srimad Bhagavatam. Then Srila Prabhupada continues in glorifying his spiritual master and how by a moment of association with this spiritual master, the life of Srila Prabhupada was actually changed. And then he continues describing the importance of association with saintly personalities and how there's one very interesting sentence where Srila Prabhupada mentions that by cutting, enforcing instructions of Vidura, the life of Dhritarashtra was changed. And then in the end, the last passage of this purport, it's a very lovely analogy describing how sky, the Akash, is immovable, but everything beneath the Akash, beneath the sky, is constantly changing. The clouds, the rain, the forests, the vegetation, everything is changing, but the sky remains always permanent and still. So last time when we've been asked to speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam, we've been describing the importance of association. But we can see specifically even in here in the Bhaktivedanta Mana, there's so much opportunity to associate with Vaishnavas, with saintly personalities. But the question is, yes, we have association, but the question is, how can we associate? So how to associate with saintly personalities and how to practically see from the scriptures the practical application of this blessing, of this boon of association. So I've been thinking how to kind of practically apply this point. And one very wonderful point from Bhagavad Gita, I think this verse is very important for us as Vaishnavas. And I think this verse is, for those who know, please repeat with me. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevayam upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatva darshina. So in this verse is actually encapsulated the whole message and all the necessary information to approach sadhus. And so there are 3 points mentioned in this verse. That's pranipata, means offering respects like dandavats. So to offer respects to a Vaishnava doesn't mean you putting yourself down. It means you seeing the Vaishnava as a someone who's purified, who has a relationship with Krishna. And through offering your dandavats, your respects to a, to a devotee, you asking for blessings, for benedictions. And in this way, you can progress in your devotional service. The another point in this verse, in 434, is seva, means serving those devotees like menial servants. We can see in this material world, to be a servant is a position of being degraded. When someone says, well, I'm serving, if you're outside in the material world, people look down upon you. But in the Bhagavad Gita, it's also mentioned that what is a night for people with material consciousness is a time of being awake for spiritualists and vice versa. Therefore, what is considered a status quo in this material world is actually completely unacceptable in a spiritual world. Therefore, our duty is not to be part of this material world. In a sense that to be a devotee means to practically apply yourself in the material world, but not to be part of this material world. I remember from my own personal experience when not so long ago I have the opportunity to receive Diksha initiation from my spiritual master. He instructed me that to be part of this material world and not to be part of this material world, that's what it means to be a devotee. Not to be aloof, but to be part and always practically apply the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. So, seva means serving those and serving basically anyone and everyone. Because a pure devotee, a Uttamadhikari, which means Uttama, beyond the material darkness, a Uttamadhikari sees everyone on an equal level. Therefore, we should be also striving to become Uttama, to see everyone equally. Therefore, we should offer our service to everyone. Service has many different forms. You can, based on nectar of instruction, we also discriminate that different levels of devotees, we reciprocate with them on the different levels. But nevertheless, we should always offer seva. And the third point from the Bhagavad Gita is pariprashna, which is very, very important. And through all the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see how pariprashna is equally applied. Pariprashna means being inquisitive, means asking variety of questions about the Lord's form, His glories, His appearance, His entourage, His dham. So pariprashna means constantly not being satisfied with the level of knowledge you possess. So in these small three points, pranipata, seva and pariprashna is encapsulated the instruction how to associate with the Vaishnavas or with the sadhus. Srila Prabhupada writes, "Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding." So, in this specific situation, Dhritarashtra was forcefully instructed by Vidura. But obviously, we can see in this material, we cannot do this always. We cannot impose our teachings onto everyone, based on the relationship, based on the status, based on the position we're in, we can deliver the philosophy. We can see how Srila Prabhupada came to the Western world and he was not compromising with anyone. But we should also understand that this so-called compromise is based on purity of consciousness. Because when we instruct many times, and I speak from my own personal reflection, that we instruct from a position of some shastrical power. But Srila Prabhupada was instructing also from the power of the shastra, but from personal purity. So we can say the same sentence in the same formula, in the same, intonation as Srila Prabhupada, but it will have a different impact. Why? Because we understand the purity of the another jiva. So the obstacle in our instruction is the ahankar, the false ego. Because Srila Prabhupada was a pure devotee, he didn't have that ahankar, therefore his instructions were very, very pure, and we can very much reciprocate on it on a level of the soul. In Hari Bhakti Sudodaya 13.2 is mentioned, very wonderful verse. "O Vaishnava, to see you is the perfection of the eyes. To touch your holy feet is the perfection of the body. To vibrate your holy qualities is the perfection of the tongue, for it is very rare to find a pure devotee within this world." So come back to the main question, how to associate with Vaishnavas on a practical level. The answer is right here. Glorify the Vaishnavas. Try to serve the Vaishnavas and offer your respects to the Vaishnavas. So utilize all your senses just like you're utilizing everything to service Krishna. Try to utilize everything in service to the Vaishnavas. So by glorifying them, by paying obeisances, and by serving the Vaishnavas, your life will be perfect. The main teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are encapsulated again in three instructions. Vaishnava Seva, Nama Ruchi, and Jiva Doi. In these three simple instructions, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us glimpse and understanding how is it in the spiritual world. So Vaishnava Seva, because Krishna is fully blossoming in the hearts of the Vaishnavas, by serving the devotee, you are becoming much, much more dearer to Krishna himself directly. By utilizing your tongue in glorifying the Lord and chanting the holy name, you're kind of cutting the distance between you and Krishna. And by giving what you have, by giving the treasure of Krishna consciousness to others, you're creating a merciful mood within you, you're cultivating mercy. And all these qualities are very dear to the Vaishnavas. So how to associate with Vaishnavas and with devotees means being practical. So I'll repeat that. Paripata, Pariprasna, and Seva. These are the main important three points which Srila Prabhupada was stressing in the purport, how to associate with Vaishnavas. Another point which very much struck me in the Prabhupada purport was the term Pragna. How do you pronounce it correctly? Can anyone give me some? Pragya. Is it Pragya? Okay. So, Pragya. Prabhupada is mentioning that by the pragya of Dhritarashtra, he understood his situation. There was a moment of revelation which was based again by the mercy of Vidura imposed upon him. So term pragya is used in a many different connotations through the Srimad Bhagavatam and different scriptures. I very much like one word, pragya chakshur, from the Srimad Bhagavatam. It means vision of knowledge or vision of intelligence. Srila Prabhupada, he translates that someone who's a sthita pragna means he's steadfast in intelligence. So first to know what is intelligence and what is the situation of intelligence and what is the importance of devotee being intelligent. So there is another verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Indriyani purani ahur, indriye bihar paramana, mananas tupara buddhir, yobude paratas tusaha. The working senses are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is still higher than the mind. And he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. So why this is a very important statement for us? To be a pragya, to have a pragya chakshur, means, just like last class we discussed about a devotee who understands the duality and goes beyond it. This is another aspect of very important characteristic of a devotee, and that is to be sthita pragya. To be a sthita pragya means to understand the importance of certain levels. So first there is the soul, there is the intelligence, the mind, the senses. And how can we practically kind of become like this? It means, again, by association with pure devotee. And how to associate with Prabhupada is to read his books, to study the Siddhanta, to study the philosophy. And by this, when you compare your mind or your intelligence into like a piece of metal, these books are like burning fire of spiritual intelligence. So when you take your intelligence in the form of this metal and offer it to the fire, what happens, the piece of metal has received the propensity or the characteristics of the fire. So what happens, you're spiritualizing your intelligence. In this way, the intelligence overcomes the constant fluctuations of the mind. So what are the three aspects of the mind which mind is continuously kind of producing? Thinking, feeling, and willing. Thinking, feeling, and willing. So many times we are overcome by our feelings, and it is many times an obstacle in our devotional life. So how can we not become emotionless, but how can we purify our mind through intelligence? And Srila Prabhupada gives this comment. Above the mind is the determination of the intelligence, and above the intelligence is the soul proper. If therefore the soul is directly engaged with Supreme, naturally all the subordinates, namely the intelligence, mind and senses, will automatically engaged. So by engaging yourself or by controlling the intelligence, everything else above, everything else which is underneath the intelligence becomes purified. Therefore, it's very important for us as a devotees to study Srila Prabhupada's books. Because by this you will receive a right understanding of dualities of this material world and how can you engage yourself. When you look in the life of Srila Prabhupada through the vision of his disciples, specifically through the, I like to watch, as I mentioned last time, these videos, Srila Prabhupada's memories, you can see how Prabhupada was daksha, how he was expert in dealing with situations. how many different situations, many different opportunities come to Srila Prabhupada's life, and he very expertly can deal with them. As an expert psychologist, psychiatrist, he just observe the situation, evaluate the situation, and in a very practical way, apply the remedy to that specific situation. So in Srila Prabhupada books, that's the Siddhanta, that's the philosophy which is unchangeable, which is the voice of the Acharya. But we can also see another aspect of practical application based on specific level of understanding. So in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 13th chapter, is described many different levels of consciousness. Anamoy, Pranamoy, Gyanamoy, Vigyanamoy, and Anandamoy. So different devotees, different Vaishnavas, they're on a different scale of understanding of these five levels. And the spiritual master, as expert as he is, he directly knows which level you are on. You're on the Gyanamoy, Vigyanamoy, or Anandamoy. And he knows how to apply the medicine according to your consciousness. Therefore, to be a prajnacakshura is very practical in the material world, in the spiritual world as well. In the Srimad Bhagavatam and also in Ishopanishad, it's very much stressed that we should be practical personalities in the face of prakriti, in the face of material nature. And how can you achieve this? By constantly offering your intelligence, your mind, and your senses to the service. Only by this constant endeavor you can achieve correct and proper chakshush, correct and proper vision. So if your eyes supposed to be have to be purified, that purification has to be purification, constant purification. So that was my second point. First point was how to associate correctly with the Vaishnavas. Point number two was how can you, by correct association and accepting the instructions of the Vaishnavas, you can receive a proper vision. And one point which I wanted to make, the last one, is how by going beyond this duality of Brahman, as mentioned in 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakankshati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. One who is thus transcendentally situated and once realized the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. So the side product or side effect of your Krishna consciousness or your proper vision becomes being joyful. So happiness is not our goal. Happiness is merely a side effect of our Krishna consciousness. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotion and service unto me. So Krishna is making and giving this statement that you need to be properly situated. So being properly situated means taking shelter of the senior Vaishnavas and understanding how they have already the chakshush. And this chakshush, their vision is always benefiting us as the junior devotees. So, and the third point which I would like to mention is how can you go beyond the reality that we can perceive with our mundane vision? So there's very wonderful commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on this specific verse. And he's saying that ultimately what Vidura gave to Dhritarashtra is not fully bhakti yoga. And this is an interesting statement. So what he gave was, he was given teachings of bhakti mishra gyan. For liberation. He was born in the Ajameda dynasty. Because of this mental determination, he could leave. The path shown by his brother was the path of bondage and liberation. So what Vidura instructed to Dhritarashtra, because again, as we mentioned, a pure devotee, he understands which level you're at. And based on that level, he builds. He builds your punya, he builds your sukriti, and he builds your understanding of the reality. So, just like we can understand that Narada Muni, when he met the hunter, right, he ultimately instructed him to chant the names of the god of death, Mara. He didn't say, oh, engage yourself in pure devotional service unto the Supreme Lord. Say and chant the names of Mara. And by chanting these names, you become liberated. So he was just chanting Mara, Mara, Mara. So these are the instructions of a pure devotee. So he observes, he sees, and he applies. Bhakti Mishra Gyan was the ultimate remedy for Dhritarashtra. So in the last portion of Prabhupada's purport, it very much reminded me how he compared the sky and the clouds and the rain. So the clouds and the rain may be an obstacle to, let's say, have a vision of the sun. So this reminds me of Ishopanishad. The last verses of Sri Ishopanishad are very, very much a petition, a humble prayer of a devotee to Krishna. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Gornitai ki. So a devotee prays to Krishna, please, all these obstructions which are between me and you, let them minimize as much as possible. So in Ishopanishad is directly mentioned as a jyotir, as a Brahma jyotir, this dazzling effulgence which is between me, between the impersonal and the personal part, kindly take it away. So the same prayer or the same kind of a mood I get from this purport of Srila Prabhupada, how the different material manifestations which are in a very gross level imparted within us as ahankar, as false ego, are the greatest wall between us and Krishna. So our prayer should be as well, kindly Krishna, whatever difficulties or whatever wall is between me and you, kindly put that aside and let me become your unalloyed devotion, unalloyed devotee. So if one wants to see the absolute truth in full, one has to penetrate beyond the 24 material elements and the glaring effulgence as well. Sri Ishopanishad points toward this direction, praying for the removal of the Hiranmanya Patra, the dazzling covering of the Lord. Unless this covering is removed, so one can perceive the real face of personality of Godhead, factual realization of the absolute truth can never be achieved. And there's one, again, very wonderful verse from Brahma Samhita, where Brahma recites, in the millions and millions of universes, there are innumerable planets, and each and every one of them is different from the other by its cosmic constitution. All of these planets are situated in a corner of the Brahma Jyotir. This Brahma Jyotir is but the personal rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, whom I worship. So in this mantra, or this meditation of Brahma, of our head, of our sampradaya, we can see what is actually the mood. Again, to have the prajna chakshur, to have the vision of knowledge, we should understand that this material manifestation is expansion or is emanates from the Supreme. But for us as a devotees, to a certain degree, isn't an obstacle. And to go beyond this obstacle means to directly connecting through the parampara, through yoga, to Krishna. And the best way to do that is to channel ourselves. So once I heard this wonderful analogy, how actually chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is like channeling a radio. For those who want to listen to radio, you need to find the right frequency, right? You need to find the frequency of the radio. So when you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, you're finding the right frequency. And by you connecting to this right frequency, you're connecting directly to the one who delivers the frequency, that's Krishna. So through yoga, Prabhupada mentions in one of his purports that yoga is a practical application of this meditation. For the 99% of the world, yoga means some stretching and gymnastics. But for devotees, for someone who practices Krishna consciousness, you understand that yoga means application, meditation, and then also there's scientific evidence of that application. So, also, in one of the instances, or in the specific purport, even in the translation, prajna is translated as introspective knowledge. So one of the aspects of a devotee is to be very much introspective. His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, he is a very, very introspecting devotee, and he very much sees the importance of meditation, prayer, and understanding your internal mood. So through constant meditation, you can actually reprogram yourself. So I'm going to just summarize the 3 points which I mentioned. The point number one was how to associate, how to practically apply the knowledge of association so we don't just rub shoulders with the senior sadhus. It means seva, it means being inquiring, and also paying obeisances. So being respectful, asking questions in submission, and also serve nicely. This is correct association. The point number two was how to develop this pragna, how to develop intelligence and knowledge. And that could be only done by studying books, ultimately, by studying the philosophy and then applying this philosophy. The third point, which emanated from, in my understanding, from the purport, was how to go beyond this tangible reality of material world. And only you can do that through, again, taking shelter. And Brahma is ultimately head of our Sampradaya, and his statements of the Brahma Samhita, which is the culmination of studying the Vedanta, is also very important and is part of our shelter. And just like Vidura instructed Dhritarashtra in the form of Bhakti Mishra Gyan, we should go for the Bhakti. We should go and study ultimately, because in Vedanta Sutra, which is like churning of the churned, the Bhakti is the ultimate conclusion. Therefore, skip all the other parts, all the karma, all the dhyana, all the mystical yoga, and just go to the Bhakti, because that's ultimately our goal. So I'll finish here. If there are any questions, any points, anything devotees would like to mention, any comments,